I always like to start with a couple of thoughts to inspire you. And these come from really a book that's called Really Important Stuff My Dog Has Taught Me. And the first one is this: less bark and more wag. That's a good one, isn't it? And the second is, we have only this moment, sparkling like a star in our hand and melting like a snowflake. That's profound, isn't it? As always, it is so good to be with you, and I truly love our time together as a parish family. Over the past several weeks, Mark's gospel has been guiding us on Jesus' final journey to Jerusalem. Along the way, we have encountered the rich young ruler, we've encountered Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus, and many others. And these stories are inspiring to us, even after 2,000 years, and it's primarily because we see ourselves in them. We can make some kind of connection. And this is a very true statement, that while centuries may change, basic human needs, and particularly our need for a relationship with God, remains unchanged. In today's gospel reading, Jerusalem is now packed because the feast of the Passover is about to take place. And historians like Josephus, they tell us that the city at that time would swell from around 50,000 to 120,000 people. That's quite a growth, isn't it? And it was just the Sunday before that Jesus approached Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And we call that Palm Sunday. And then once he goes through the gates and he's inside the walls of the city, he spends the majority of his time in the temple area. See, there were outer courts and there were inner courts in the temple. So it was a great place to gather and talk and to teach. And we read that on Monday, Jesus heals a lot of people in the temple. And then he throws out the money changers. And then a couple of days later, on Wednesday, with just 72 hours before he is about to be crucified, he teaches a large crowd in the temple. And then on top of that, while he's teaching them, he throws in, as we heard, a few searing comments for those who consider themselves to be the spiritually elite. You know, when you say you're the spiritually elite, you're the least spiritually elite, because a humble person is the one who's the spiritually elite, and you'd never know it. Now, he's tired and exhausted. You can imagine the journey and everything he's been through. In 3 days, he's going to be crucified. So Jesus says, it's time to stop teaching for a moment and take a breather. I need a breather. And he leaves the area where he is, and he walks into the popular inner court area of the temple known as the Court of Women. That is what it was called. On numerous occasions, because many people gathered in the Court of Women, Jesus taught there. Mark records that it was in this place that Jesus says the famous words, "I am the light of the world." You've heard that, haven't you? Well, yeah, this is where he said it. And then while he's taking a load off of his feet, Jesus begins to observe people as they presented their monetary offerings to God. Here's why. In the Court of Women, on two sides of the court, under the colonnade, there were 13 collection boxes. And each box had a designated intention that was written on the box. Now, these boxes were called trumpets, and rightfully so, because that's what they looked like. They looked like a trumpet. And they were made for coins, since at that time, paper money didn't exist, and iPhones with square card readers, they surely didn't exist. But for coins. And so the trumpets, of course, they were narrow at the opening, and then they widened at the base, and they were made out of brass. That's the way they were. And what's interesting about the trumpets, and you probably figured this out by now, that when somebody would come up with a large number of coins and drop them into the narrow neck, what do? They make a lot of noise, don't they? They clank, don't they? And that's why in one of the other Gospels, Jesus comments that some of the contributors had become more interested in being recognized by all of the noise or the clanking they were making rather than honoring God. It's sort of like the saying goes, they were trying to toot their own horn, right? And then the most wonderful thing takes place. Jesus pays no attention to these people. But then something happens. It perks him up. It energizes him. It inspires him. A woman that is known only as the poor widow, she walks up to one of the trumpets with two small coins in her, or they're called leptons, in her hand. And in anticipation of what's about to take place, because the disciples were over here and Jesus was sitting here, he says, "Hey, come over here quickly. Come over here quickly." And then he points out, "Do you see the woman over here that just put the two coins in the trumpet? Do you see them? Do you see her? Amen, I say to you." Now, you got to stop here for a moment. Remember this, that Jesus only used a solemn declaration like, "Amen, I say to you," when he was about to teach something that was deeply spiritually profound, and it typically is something that turned conventional thinking upside down. And, you know, God does that sometimes. He sort of surprises us with the divine wisdom. So what is it? What is it about these two leptons that are so important? I mean, is it their monetary value? You would think by the way that Jesus was perked up and was looking and talking that these two leptons were worth more than all the gold in Fort Knox. Yet, lepton is a word that means small and thin. See, leptons were about the diameter of a pencil eraser, okay? That's how wide they were. And then they weighed about 2 grams or less, which was the equivalent of 2 paper clips. So you can see why they were called thin. And they were a Judean minted coin, meaning that, and because they were that system, that the coins themselves, there was no other equivalent in another monetary system. Leptons were so small. They were so small. And that's why, because Mark knows that Greeks are going to be reading about this story, he gives them the equivalent, sort of the exchange rate, for 2 leptons in the Roman monetary system. So if you're here this morning, you got a couple leptons in your hand and you want to get a Roman coin, here's what it takes. 2 Jewish leptons equal 1 Roman quadrants, okay? That's what they be. And then, surely, you got to know this. When the lady dropped in the coins, they fell straight through. They didn't make any noise, did they? Do you think they did? Any clanking? No. And I seriously doubt that anybody noticed except the Son of God. Wow, the Son of God noticed what she was doing. So I have to ask myself again, how is it that these 2 coins, which in Jesus' time, what they could buy, the purchasing power, was a handful of flour. You know, if somebody comes up to you today and says, "How much are you worth?" About a handful of flour. That's about how much she had to say. How in the world could that little insignificant amount of money cause so much commotion that you and I are marveling at it 2,000 years later? That's pretty amazing, don't you think? And what could possibly, this really sort of sets the stage, what could possibly make Jesus go on to say that she gave more than all of the other contributions combined for that day? Now, there were 120,000 people there, people that had stored up their money for the temple for a year, because you didn't have a car or anything like that to drive. So you can imagine the boxes, the trumpets were quite full. But Jesus says she gave more than all of the contributions combined for that day. Now, I have to be honest with you. That pushes me out of my comfort zone. I have to be honest with you about that. And my initial reaction was this. I want to go up and put the 2 coins in for the lady. Say, "Please take the coins, keep them, and go buy yourself something to eat." But I don't think she would have paid any attention to me. And I think, too, when you think about how loving and caring Jesus was, Jesus didn't go over and say, "Dear lady, keep those 2 coins. You know, the temple doesn't need them. God owns everything." He didn't say that because this lady was about to receive a blessing. A blessing. And what was it? Here's what it was. Jesus said to his disciples right after that in Greek, "Halon ton bion." Halon ton bion. And it means this. that this woman loved God and her relationship with him so much that out of a grateful heart, she gave her all. She gave her all. Now, when you think about that, from that kind of perspective, you would definitely not want to deny a person the immense joy of such an experience. That's better than food. Now, I think we're starting to get somewhere as we think about why Jesus saw this as so important. Giving God your all out of a heart of gratitude. I think that's what he's saying. So Jesus, are you saying that while people acknowledge the size of the gift, God acknowledges the gratitude with which the gift is offered? Yes. Jesus, are you saying that while people measure the portion, God measures the proportion? Yes. Jesus, are you saying that when people give to God out of their surplus, God is more interested in receiving a sacrificial portion of what is used to keep their lifestyle going? Yes. Jesus, are you saying that while people notice how much is given, God notices how much is left in the giver's hand after they've given? Yes. Jesus, are you saying that God loves me so much, he's so interested in me as a person, that he is infinitely concerned about me and my relationship with him more than the thickness of my wallet or anything else for that matter? Absolutely, yes. You starting to get the message now? In some ways, this story reminds me of the Football Hall of Famer, Walter Payton. He played for the Chicago Bears. And Walter, he was very famous. He once held records in carrier rushing yards, touchdowns, and many other categories. But I really like what he said. I like his quote. Listen to what he's quoted as saying. He says, "I want to be remembered as the guy who gave his all whenever he was out on the field. Give it all whenever I'm out on the field." And don't you admire and don't you want to look up to a Super Bowl champion like Walter, who withheld nothing and gave it all? Of course, these are people that inspire us. So let me close really fast by offering you a simple but a profound reflection for you today, myself included. I just wonder how many of us here are willing to say to ourselves, to God, and to others, that we want to be remembered like the poor widow who, out of gratitude, loved God so much that she gave him her all. God bless you.